Hello. Good to see everybody. As I mentioned earlier this morning when I was teaching class, Stephen and Victoria are at Polishing the Pulpit this weekend, getting their batteries recharged and getting to listen to some great teaching and go to a bunch of great classes this week. It's a great thing for them. So you've got me all day. So hopefully we can learn some things from God's Word. We were talking a lot this morning in class and also last Wednesday night about traditions and about doctrines and about a bunch of things like that. And you know, it's real clear that there's lots of verses in the Scripture that teach us that we need to obey God's Word and His Word only. Not, you know, whatever else somebody wants to say, you know, it's what God says. But in a way, that's the easy part. Now, that might struck you as a little strange because you're sitting there going, hold it. There's a lot in God's Word and, you know, learning and doing all that stuff is a lifelong effort, and it is. But in a way, that's the easy part. You learn it, and you do it. If it says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, then what do you got to do to be saved? Believe and baptize. You know, it's not that hard. That part you can kind of look at is pretty straightforward. But what do you do about the things that aren't clearly stated in Scripture? Right? How do you decide how to apply your life as a Christian when the Bible doesn't tell you, thus saith the Lord? And that's what we're going to talk about today a little bit. So there's a verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, that gets taken out of context a lot, but we're going to use it as kind of our touch point today and talk about it, because it's right on top of this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, this is Paul talking to the Philippians. Paul's in jail in Rome, and he's writing this to the Philippians. And he's saying, you remember when I was there, but you know now I'm not there with you, but here's what I want you to do. Much more so in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, if the rest of the book of Philippians wasn't there, and this is all you had, how might we interpret that? How might we understand that? Well, it kind of sounds like we kind of have to work out our own way for salvation, don't we? Kind of sounds that way. That's not what it teaches, but that's what it sounds. And in fact, this verse is used as a defense for the doctrines of men. It's used as a defense for denominational teaching. Because they will say, well, look, Paul just says we got to work out our own salvation, and we did. We're over here. We got our own little group, and we do things this way, and this is what we believe, and this is how we're saved. And you guys over there, you do it different, but, you know, yeah, you're saved too. You know, we're all kind of working out our own salvation. That's how they apply it. But is that what the Bible teaches? It doesn't teach that we can create our own path to God. Jesus said real plainly, I am the way. There is no other way to the Father except by me, period. So I guarantee you one thing, if you think you've got a way to get to heaven that doesn't include Jesus, you're mistaken. Okay? This kind of puts a world of hurt on Islam, on Buddhism, and a lot of other religions that don't claim Christ as the Son of God. Right? But that's not specifically what I'm talking about here either. You see, God has given us free will, and we do get to choose. We have lots of free will. Free will is the ability to choose, the freedom to choose. But does that mean that we have freedom to choose whatever we want? Well, in some way we do, in a sense of, can I make the choice and go live that way? Sure. Even if God has said, don't do that, can I still say, I'm going to go do it anyway? Sure. I mean, in that sense, we have free will. But what God has asked us to do is to make wise decisions and make godly decisions with that free will, to use discretion. So the first example of this is in Genesis chapter 2, way back in the beginning of the Bible. And verse 18, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would name them, call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, the birds of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And don't you love, men, don't you love that verse? Because then it said, God made woman, right? But notice what he said. God gave Adam the job of naming all the animals. Now, God didn't say, here is the Here is God's name for every critter that walks on the earth, and this is what you're going to call them, Adam. Now, if God had said that, would it have been our job to call them those names? Sure, because that's what God said. But he didn't do that. What did he say? He said, Adam, I'm going to have all the animals I've created come before you, and you get to name them. And it says, whatever Adam chose to call them, that was its name. Now, we know Adam didn't speak English, okay? Nor did he speak Latin, nor did he speak Greek or Hebrew. You know, it was a language further back. But, you know, if the cow comes up and Adam said, this is a moo-moo, then that's what its name was a moo-moo. You know, he had the freedom to choose. And he used that choice. In fact, God commanded him to make a decision on his own. And that decision stuck. But Adam was also given free will with constraints. In this case, he wasn't. He said, give it whatever you want, Adam. Call it anything you want. That'll be its name. The other thing that Adam was commanded and Eve was commanded was freedom. What did he say? You can live, and tell you what, you guys are living in this beautiful garden I've created for you. You got all the food you need. It's all this wonderful place to be. He says, you can eat of anything in the place you want, but not that. Pointing to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat it. Now, did they have the free will to choose to eat it or not? They sure did. And how do we know that? Because they decided to eat it at some point, right? After the serpent got in the mix, Eve ate of it and handed it to Adam, and Adam ate of it. So they had the freedom to choose, but was that a godly choice? No. Because God gave them rules. He said, you can eat anything you want. All you want to have is peaches. If you want to eat peaches every day of your life, Adam, it is okay. But there's apples, and there's all kinds of other good things out there. There's nuts, and there's all potatoes, and all kinds of wonderful things. But you can choose whatever you want to eat. Just don't eat that. So he had free will, but he had constraints. He had guidelines. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, Solomon says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And this is a similar principle in 2 Samuel. David is actually told this by the prophet Nathan, 2 Samuel 7, verses 1 through 3. And we kind of remember this from our classes, our timeline classes with Stephen. Now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside a tent, inside tent curtains. He's thinking he ought to build, you know, a temple for the ark. Then Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Now we know, because we were studying that it was not God's plan for David to build the temple. Right? Because as God said, he was a man of blood. He'd shed much blood. He was a soldier. He was a warrior. And he said, Solomon will build my temple. And we're just in that point in our class. We'll start again next Sunday where Solomon builds the temple and goes through that part of his life in the Bible. But what you have here is a principle. Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Now that is a true principle. And we with free will as Christians can apply it. Go do whatever is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Is the Lord with us if we're Christians? Yeah. The Spirit dwells in us? Yeah. We're guided by the Word? Absolutely. But we have to always be within the plan of God. David had everything he needed. He was powerful. He had money. He could have built a temple. He could have decided to build a temple anyway. He said, nah, God, I'm going to build a temple. That would have been sin, right? But he says, no, okay, God, you know, God tells Nathan. In fact, Nathan tells David this, and then God appears to Nathan that very night and says, Nathan, you need to go tell David that he's not the one to build the house, to build the house of God. So Nathan comes in and tells him. He says, God said that you're not the one to do it, but your son is going to do it. And David says, oh, okay, that's okay. But notice, there are plans that God has that may or may not jive with the plans that we make, even though they're godly plans. David wanted to build a temple for God. Is that a bad thing? Not by itself. It was his heart, right? He loved God. He wanted to do something for God. But God said, no, that's not my way. That's not what I want. I've got a different plan. And that's a principle in our lives as Christians. Are there going to be times that we in our lives will say, you know, I think I want to go do this with my life. And it's not an ungodly thing. I'm not talking about sinning here. You just decide, I think I'm going to go do this with my life. And then God puts a brick wall in front of you. said, nope. That can happen, right? It's not that what you chose was wrong. It just wasn't fitting God's will. Now, we have examples of that. Paul went through the same thing here. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6, it says, now that when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, this is Paul and his companions, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit would not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. By the way, that song we just sang, Send the Light, that verse, you probably don't know where that verse comes from. We have heard the Macedonian call today. This is the Macedonian call. This is the place in Scripture where that happened. Paul had a dream, and the guy said, we're from Macedonia, please come and help us. And so he said, great, we're going. We're going to Macedonia. But notice what was their plan. They were going to go into Asia Minor. This is up into Turkey and up in that direction where Bithynia was. Paul ended up going the other way. He went up going east up into Macedonia, Philippi, Berea, and down to Corinth and Athens, right? But here it says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Now hold it. Paul was an apostle of Christ. Was he doing God's will? He sure was. Was he preaching the gospel and saving souls? Yes, he was. And he said, we're going to go preach up there because there are plenty of souls that haven't heard the gospel. Is that a good thing? Yeah, it's a good thing. But the Spirit said, no. Not that it was a bad thing. It was just not God's plan. God had plans for someone else to go. And in fact, history tells us that Peter actually went up to Bithynia, that Peter actually evangelized that area. At least that's what history tells us. It's not scripture, but it's fairly reliable history. So here he says, we tried to go into Asia. We couldn't. We tried to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit would not permit us. One of the hardest things as a Christian sometimes in your life is when you've decided on a path in your life, and it's not an ungodly path. I'm going to stress that. We're not talking about sin here. We're just talking about a choice you've made in life. And you head down that road and you start hitting the wall. And you can't seem to get past the wall. You know, sometimes the wall is there for a real good reason. Maybe it shouldn't go that way. Well, that's the situation Paul was in. The Spirit said, no, no, it forbade us. You are forbidden. That's pretty strong language. Paul says, but there are people up there that need the gospel. I want to go up there. The Spirit says, no, go there. I want you to go over here. So, when we have to make decisions about working out our own salvation, we'll learn more about that when it means in the context, we have to keep in mind that even when we make a godly choice in a direction that's doing good, it may not be God's will for our lives, for our particular lives. Someone else, it might be fine. It may not be for ours. And we have to be willing to accept that and understand it. And God will lead us and guide us. And notice, too, here, the Spirit didn't say, Paul, don't go to Bithynia, go to Macedonia. But Paul had a dream that said, and he had a vision, this is a revelation, this is inspiration. And he says, man of Macedonia says, come over to help us. And notice what he says. He says, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Concluding. That's a decision. Paul had this vision. And based on the vision, he said, let's go to Macedonia. He concluded. He made a judgment. He made plans. And they did. Now, Paul still made long-term. You'd think with these kinds of things, you wouldn't make long-term plans, right? You'd say, well, you know, God's going to, you know, I'm just going to kind of sit here and, you know, God's going to send me a sign and I'll know what to do, you know, in the next 5 minutes. And God will send me a sign to figure out if I want to go out to eat to lunch, and God will send me a sign to say, what should I have on the menu? And God will send me a sign to... There are people who live their lives that way, or at least talk about living their lives that way. That's not what God tells us to do either. You know, he tells us to do what we find to do as godly followers. That we have to make decisions. Paul made long-term plans. You'd think after this situation, because he'd made a long-term plan. He says, I'm going to go into Bithynia and preach. The Holy Spirit says, no. So you think maybe Paul would be over with making long-term plans, but he wasn't. Quite a bit after this, he was making it in here in Romans chapter 15. For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. He's talking to the Romans. He's probably in Corinth when he writes this. But now I no longer have place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I might enjoy your company for a while. But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased them from Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution to the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. And I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So Paul is in Corinth. He's sending a letter to the Romans. He says, I want to see you in Rome, but I got to go down to Jerusalem first, because there was a big contribution they had because there was a drought and terrible famine down in Jerusalem. They were bringing money down from the Greek churches down to the Jewish churches. And then he says, after that, I'm going to come to you, see you. He had long-term plans. And he said, and I know that when I come, I'm coming the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. These were godly plans. Now, did Paul go to Rome and then go to Spain? Well, yeah. At least history tells us that he went to Spain. Did he go the way he thought he was going? Nope. When Paul went down, he just said, I'm going to Jerusalem. You know, when he went down, you remember our study of the book of Acts with Dan? Paul goes down to Jerusalem and he delivers the gift to the elders for the poor. And they say, hey, Paul, can you go to the temple and have your head shaved with these other three guys? Because we want to show all the Jewish Christians that you're obedient. So he says, sure, I'm going to go. And as soon as he goes, what happens? Big ruckus, big riot, and all of a sudden there's this big fight, and all of a sudden the centurion has to come down and grab Paul because they're going to tear him apart. He puts him in chains, and Paul is in chains for the next several years. He ends up getting taken to Festus and Agrippa, and then gets put on the boat to go to Rome, and they have a shipwreck. This is all a big chunk of the latter part of the book of Acts. And then he goes to Rome and he's in prison. And he's in Rome in prison for a couple of years. Now, history tells us that he was released and that he very likely went to Spain. There's not a lot of evidence of that, but there's some evidence that he was released and then he was rearrested, brought back to Rome, and eventually executed. But that was not his plan. His plan, he says, I'm going to come visit you. Like I said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. He says, I'm going to go to Rome. He got to Rome, but he got to Rome by means of a prison ship in chains, chained to a Roman guard 24/7. Okay, as a criminal who was likely to be executed by the Caesar. He did make it to Spain. Paul went to Roman chains. During those time, he wrote the prison epistles. He wrote Philippians and Galatians, Colossians, a bunch of those. God changed his plans. But during this time, when he was in prison in Rome and he wrote these epistles, what advice does Paul give to the Colossians and the Philippians about making plans? And how they decide what to do. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wow. Whatever you do in word or deed. Do we have choices to make about how we're going to live our lives as Christians? Yeah, we do. Whatever you do in word or deed. What's the guidance? Do all in the name of the Lord. If I choose to do something, can I say honestly that I am doing this in the name of the Lord by his authority? You know, because there are lots of people who say, well, I'm doing this by the name of the Lord, and they depart. They go off into the doctrines of men or whatever else. We have to be careful. Colossians 3:22, just a little further down. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So not only whatever we do in word or deed, we do all in the name of the Lord. It says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. When you make a choice in life about what you're going to do, can you say honestly, God, watch me, I'm doing this for you. If you don't want God watching you do something, that's a real good clue. It's probably not the thing to do. Right? You know, Paul even says this. He says, those who sin, sin at night. You know, the night, people hate, people who live lives of sin, they hate the light, man. They want to be in the darkness. And the Bible says they want to be in, the men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So if you plan on doing something and you say, eh, this is kind of iffy spiritually, don't do it. You can make other plans. Don't do it that way. In Philippians 4:8, Paul gives us some more advice. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. See, that's some really strong guidance there. Are your plans true, noble, just, pure, lovely? Will somebody hear those plans give you a good report to God? Say, man, you wouldn't believe what Sister So-and-so did. She was serving and helping those people. You wouldn't believe what Brother So-and-so did. Would someone say that? Would praise you to God because of your service and what you've done? Because they've seen what you've done and it was godly? Think about it. Are the things you're doing meet that standard? Especially if you're trying to do them in the name of the Lord. So these are just principles to apply, that whatever we decide to do and live out our lives as Christians. So how are we going to handle situations when God changes our plans? Now here's a situation. So we already talked about situations. God does change our plans sometimes. How do we deal with that? So Philippians 4:10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned of whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, we take that one verse out of context a lot too, that last part, that last verse. But notice what he says. I know how to have nothing, and I know how to have all things. I know how to be hungry. I know how to be full. I know how to be rich, and I know how to be poor. And in all those situations, I can praise God and give glory to God and do his will. You see, all of us are in different situations. We all have different challenges. We all have different blessings. Here he's saying, whatever situation we're in, to be content, because God has placed us there if we're living godly lives. That doesn't mean you don't strive to do better. It doesn't mean you want to get a degree and get a better job, or you may move to somewhere else to have some different opportunities or whatever it might be. Or you don't want good things for your kids, so you maybe go get an extra job so you can earn some more money and your kids can go to college. Whatever that is, those things are fine. But think about why you're doing them. Are you doing them to bring glory to God? Christ gives us strength. As it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or that gives me strength, depending on your translation. He gives us boldness to make plans and boldness to set out on those plans, and grace and confidence to accept God's will and be content in any situation, including when our plans get blocked or they don't work out. I'm not asking for a show of hands, but have you ever had a plan that didn't work out? Yeah. In fact, you might ask yourself, have you ever had a survey? Have you ever had a plan that did work out? There's probably fewer of those than all the plans that didn't work out, right? But what is he saying? He gives you grace and confidence, even when the plan doesn't work out. What do? I'm a child of Almighty God. The Son of God is my Savior. I have God's word to guide me. I'll be okay. We'll find a way. We'll change our plans. We'll do something different, but we'll stay in God's will. So let's step back. Let's go back and look at this now. So that gives us the confidence and grace to accept God's will and be content in any situation. So let's go back to that verse, that work out your own salvation verse, and let's read it in the full context. Okay, so this is Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, on those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. Okay, here the verse comes. Therefore, my beloved, there's the therefore. All that's important that came before. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. So you see in the context, this is not talking about everybody gets to pick their own road to heaven and bulldoze their own way. It's not talking about that at all. It's very clearly saying that, yes, we have free will, and we get to make choices, and we have to make choices, but we make them in a godly way according to God's word. That's why it's so important for us to study and learn, so we know the guidelines to make good, wise, godly choices. This is clearly not a license to invent our own doctrines or our own way to salvation. That's pretty obvious from the context. But each of us has a personal responsibility to fulfill the commands of God in our own situations. Are you married? Then live out your life as a married person according to the laws of God. Are you not married? Live out your life according to the laws of God, right? Not just about marriage, it's about life, everything about life. We have our own responsibility to figure it out, to apply these principles and always stay true to God's way and his word. So that's the lesson. Tonight we're going to talk about priorities and how we use a set of priorities to help us make these good decisions. But if you're a Christian, no matter how long you've been a Christian or how short, sometimes we procrastinate doing what we know is right. We know what to do and we don't do it. You know, isn't there a verse that says, he who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin? There is a verse that says that. I believe it's in James. Sometimes we're even waiting for some kind of a sign from God. You know, it's like Paul, you know, he said, I'm going to Bithynia, and the Spirit said, no. And then he got in a dream, he said, go to Macedonia. So he went to Macedonia. Sometimes we're like, well, I'm going to wait for a sign from God. You know what? That is not what we're told to do. We've got God's word. We've got all the signs we need. Read it, do it, get after it. Get after it. Do what your hand finds to do. If you're a Christian and you're walking in the light, the Lord is with you. Make your choices, make your plans, and get on with being a Christian and living the godly life. Get on with it. You don't have to wait for signs. You got all the signs you need. If you're not a Christian, no matter what you plan to do, no matter how smart or educated you are, how experienced or how wise, even if you have some success along the way without God, you're going to ultimately fail, both in this life and in eternity. You got to know you have to become a Christian or you're going to fail. You have to follow God's word with all your heart or you will fail, both here in this life and in eternity. We know what it takes to become a Christian. The scripture tells us very plainly. It says we have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and believe it enough to be willing to stand before men and say so, that we will turn away from our own selfish life of sin. That's what repentance means, that we will turn around and we will head towards God and walk in his way. Are you going to walk that way perfectly? Nope. Are you going to stumble and fall sometimes on that way? Yep. Are you going to be able to walk and tear off running? You know, my daughter, we're going to go see my granddaughter, not my daughter, we're going to see my granddaughter, Naomi, who's going to be 1 year old next week. She is right on the edge of learning how to walk. She's trucking everywhere as long as she's got a hand, like, but she hadn't quite let that hand go yet. We're like that too as Christians, aren't we? We got to learn. We got to learn to walk, especially young Christians, especially new Christians. We got to learn how to walk and then learn how to run. Then we have to be born again of the water and the Spirit. If we don't obey God and what he says, he is not going to forgive your sins. You have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Jesus said it. Peter said it. Paul said it. Philip said it in Acts. It's enough. You don't need to hear it more than once. You got to do it. But then you got to walk in the light. Every day that you wake up as a Christian, you have to decide, am I serving God today? What am I going to do today? What are my plans? What are my activities? Are they godly activities? Can I smile up at God and say, God, watch me today. I'm doing this for you. Or am I going to say, oh, God, you don't have to watch today. Right? Are you going to live that way? As a Christian, every day we have to choose how we're going to live. Are we going to be challenged along the way? Yes. Are we sometimes going to be challenged so much that we're going to stumble and fall sometimes? Yep, it happens. You get back up and you keep walking in the light. You keep serving God. Okay, that's the lesson. That's the invitation. If you need anything, if you need to become a Christian, we're ready today. We can make it happen now. If you're not, if you're already a Christian and you just need help, man, we all need help. Let us know. Share your burden. We'll help bear it. If you have any of those needs, you can come forward as we stand and sing.